The sixth chapter of the book of Mark, the 46th verse, we'll begin reading. This is what the Lord's laid on our heart for the last couple of days. I want to try to preach and be a blessing to you. Verse 46, "And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. When even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. Suppose it had been a spirit, and cried out. They all saw him, and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. He went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. They were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." What an awful shape to be in. We want to draw our text out of verse number 48 and verse number 51. "And he saw them toiling and rowing. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea." In verse 51, "And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased." Lord, help us for just a few minutes. I'm going to preach to you tonight on "He saw, he came, and he conquered." He saw, he came, and he conquered. We all know that this is the story after the miracle of the five loaves and the two fishes, where the 5,000 men were fed on the seashore. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments. Amen. What a miracle. What a miracle. Everybody was full and they took up more food than they had in the beginning. How is it that a man or woman cannot understand a miracle like that? When their heart is hardened. Amen. There is a hardening of the heart in our generation. It takes more to move us than it ever has. Amen. But what we need to do is just come back to the rudiments and the elements and understand the basics and understand it's just good to be saved. I don't have to have a preacher preach a fancy message to get my emotions stirred up. All I've got to do is think about where I used to be and where I am tonight. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but what? Now I see. Amen. That's enough to shout about. I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. And Jesus constrained these disciples to get into a ship and go to the other side. They didn't ask any questions. They didn't But the Lord, they just simply got in the boat and did as the Lord said do. Amen. We have a problem with that sometimes. When the Lord says do something, we like to question Him. What was that you said, Lord? Are you sure, Lord? They didn't ask any questions. They just got in the boat because that's where God said go. Hallelujah. And they set sail to the other side. Probably never been there before. They never knew what the future held. Amen. The Lord just said, get in the boat. Get in the ship. Go to the other side. He never mentioned anything about a storm. When I first got saved, and I came down to the altar, and I gave my heart to the Lord, and He washed my sins away, He never mentioned to me that there'd ever be any storms that I'd have to go through. Amen. He just simply said, get in the boat and I'll take you to the other side. Amen. It's been worth every storm. It's been worth every trouble. It's been worth every trial. It's been worth every mountain I've had to climb. It's been worth every dark valley my feet has took me through. It's been worth it. In being in the will of God. And that is being saved.
It's not the will of the Father that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He'll never leave you. They got in the boat. They were going to the other side. And the Bible said, and He saw them. I believe it was Luke that said they were some 25 to 30 furlongs from shore. There's some 663 feet in a furlong. So they were about 3.5 miles away from land where Jesus was standing. On top of the mountain, Jesus stood there praying. And they were 3.5 miles out in the middle of a sea, a storm-tossed sea. The wind was blowing, the rain was falling, the waves were crashing. The boat seemed like it would sink. Everything seemed to be like it was coming to an end for these disciples. It seemed like life was falling to 3.5 miles away. There was a Savior who was being a mediator for His disciples to a God that cared about them. And the Bible said He saw them. Through natural and carnal eyes, you couldn't see in the middle of the night while the storm was raging 3.5 miles. But these were not carnal eyes. These were not natural eyes. These were eyes of the Savior. These were eyes of the Lord, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. These were the eyes of supernatural. These were the eyes of love. These were eyes that were looking down in care upon His people. And there are some times, church, that we as saints of God, we get in the storm. And sometimes we wonder, even if the Lord sees, even if the Lord knows where we are, but all the time He's looking down from the mountain and He sees me and you through the distance and through the darkness. He sees me and you. The eyes of the Lord, they go to and forth throughout the land and they watch us. They see us. Amen. They're never taken off of us. The storm sometimes comes up unexpectedly. The storm sometimes comes and it comes unexpectedly. We never expect it. Sometimes we never expect trouble. Sometimes we never expect the attack of the devil. And we're like those disciples out in the middle of the sea doing all we know how to do. And the Bible said He saw them toiling and rowing. The wind was contrary to them. The wind was blowing against them, trying to keep them from the other side. Isn't that just like the enemy? When we're trying to get where God wants us to be, and we're doing everything we know to do, there comes that enemy, and he's contrary unto us. Hadn't you seen him do it? How many times has he done it to you? Amen. You've been having wonderful services around here. I wonder how many people walked out of this house of God Sunday night with the winds of life contrary to them. And they just couldn't seem to get anywhere. Maybe while everybody else was shouting. Maybe while everybody else seemed to have joy. Maybe while everybody else seemed to be getting a blessing. They were just trying to worship. You were just trying to row. You were doing everything you knew how to do. You was just longing to be to the other side. I want you to know, it doesn't matter how bad the storm gets, no matter how bad the winds blow, no matter how bad the rain falls, there is a God and a Savior that will stand watching. But He'll not only stand watching, but He's willing to step out on the storm and come walking unto me and you. Preacher, you just don't know what I'm going through. You just don't know this storm that I'm in. Hallelujah. These friends of the disciples that stood on the seashore while they were eating the leftovers of the blessing, they couldn't see their friend. They couldn't help their friends. They seemed like they were helpless. But there's one thing they had, and that was the Son of God. We got something to shout about. We've got the Lord on our side. We've got His eyes watching us.
God bless Him, Lord.
But I just don't know if the Lord sees me. I just don't know if the Lord understands. I just don't know if the Lord really knows where I'm at. But all the time He's saying, if you'll just call on My name, if you'll just lift up your hands and keep on worshiping and keep on praying and keep on coming to the house of God, one day I'll come up off this mountain and I'll come walking unto you and I'll be there to speak peace be still unto your storm. I can imagine how afraid these disciples got because they didn't know even if the Lord knew where they were at.
Right.
But they kept on rowing. The devil's got you when he gets you to quit praising God. When he gets you to feel like that you're all right just sitting there and doing nothing. If we sit here and we do nothing, we'll find ourselves like the four leprous men at the entering of the gate. If we sit here, we're going to die. If we go into the city, they may slay us there. But it's better to do something than just sit idly by and let the devil overtake us without even a fight. These disciples were wanting to reach the other side. And I don't know if you understand it yet or not, but we're on a journey somewhere. We're headed somewhere. Amen. When we got saved, we got on a boat, this old ship of Zion that leads to a blessed city called heaven, and we're headed there. But you'll not go get on this boat and head to that golden city without opposition, without a struggle, without a fight, amen, without facing some storms, amen. But that blessed city will be worth every storm and every struggle when you finally place your feet in the harbor haven of heaven. Amen. When you finally put your feet on the shores of glory, you'll stand and say, I'm glad I pressed. I'm glad I went another mile. I'm glad I worshiped God another time. And He saw them. It was the man at the pool of Bethesda that was there 38 years who laid there with the impotent folks, who was blind, halt, and withered and maimed. He laid there waiting for the troubling of the water. And Jesus came. You know what the Bible said? Jesus spoke to that man and said, I have now seen thee a long time in that case. 38 years. And the Lord saw him every time. He may not come when I want him, but he always comes on time. Hallelujah. I noticed something when I was reading the scripture. In verse 48, the Bible said something that just stood out to me and said, and would have passed by them. Jesus, the one that knoweth all things. Jesus, the one that saw these disciples through the darkness and the distance that they were in. Jesus, the one that knew that they were in a storm. The one that stepped out on the water and came walking to them. The Bible said, and He would have passed by them. You know what He's waiting on me and you to do? Let Him know we know we're in trouble. I can imagine those disciples were just a-rowing and just doing everything they knew to do. And all of a sudden, maybe it was Peter that looked up and got a glimpse of this man who had hair like wool and had eyes like fire and he had feet like brass. And there he came, not rowing in a boat. Amen. Not somebody rowing him to them. But this man was walking on top of this water. And they watched as he almost passed by. And Peter said, I'm not about to let this blessing go by me. Over here, Lord. Over here, Lord. I'm ready to get out. I'm ready for deliverance. I'm ready for peace. When we get ready for God to move for us, we're willing to do whatever it takes to get His attention.
Preach. Preach. Come on. God, help him. Touch him.
And he came. He not only stands watching,
come on now,
but he's willing to come unto me and you. Was it not those Hebrew children? It was in a fiery furnace.
Come on. Come on.
Because they refused to bow to the king that wanted them to worship idol gods.
Right, right.
They could not see the Lord, but the Lord saw them. And they did not know if He'd come to their rescue, but they stood firm in their faith.
Yeah. Oh, God.
They didn't waver.
Come on, man.
They didn't falter. They didn't get unsteady. They said, we'll go on where God wants us to go. Even if it's through the fiery furnace, God will deliver. God will bring me out. Sometimes it looks like the troubles of life is just about to take you under. But all of a sudden, the door of the furnace swings open. And there's the form of that fourth who is like unto the Son of God. And there he stands. He's not afraid of the storm. He's not afraid of the furnace. He's not afraid of the enemy of our soul. He's not afraid of anything that comes against me and you. If me and you will call on His name, He is faithful and just to come unto us and meet our every need. Jairus needed Jesus to come to his house. Amen. Jairus wasn't afraid to ask the Lord to come to his house. Maybe what we need to do is get out pride out of the boat. Get out selfishness out of the boat. Get everything out of the boat that would keep the Lord from getting in with us. And say, Lord, you're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcomed in the boat. I can't make it without Jesus. I can't walk without Jesus. I can't talk without Jesus. We must have the Lord seeing us through the storm. I wonder if the Lord's passing by our way tonight. Ready to bless. Ready to touch. Ready to heal. Ready to save. Ready to deliver. But He's just waiting on you to let Him in the boat. Your troubles ain't going to stop until you get Him in the boat with you. He saw them. He came to them. But He didn't come empty-handed. He came with some peace. And He got in the boat, and the wind ceased. And the wind ceased. It'll never cease till He gets in the boat. But when He gets in the boat, when He comes in the church service, the devil has to flee. Hallelujah. We're not serving a dead God. He's alive tonight. Amen. I said He's alive tonight. Hallelujah. Those Buddhists, they serve that little fat God you see in the Chinese restaurants. They serve that dude. They bow down to Him. They worship Him.
Come on. Preach.
They believe in Him. He's got eyes.
Yeah.
He's got hands. He's got feet.
Yeah.
He's got ears. Hallelujah. But you know what about their gods? They sometimes get miniature ones, and when they want to take him somewhere with them, you know what they do? They put him in his pocket. And they tote him around with them.
Come on, little Mike.
What a God. You got to pick him up off the table and put him in your pocket to take him with you. But me and you serve a God that said He'd never leave us nor forsake us, but He'd go with us. Oh, hallelujah. Me and you are serving a Lord. He's got ears and He can hear. He's got arms and they're not too shortened that He cannot save. He's got feet, but they take Him places. Amen. We're not serving a God that's got an incapability. We're not serving a God that is limited nor powerless. But we're serving a mighty, mighty God that's bigger than any storm, that's bigger than any problem, and that's willing to move for me and you. It was in the 27th chapter of the book of Acts that Paul was on board a ship and he was headed somewhere. On board that ship was 276 souls. 14 days and 14 nights. They had not seen sun nor moon nor stars. 14 days and 14 nights. The wind blew, the storm raged, the boat was tossed, and they wondered within themselves, would we perish? Let's let down these boats and let's escape. Let's just get in these little boats we've got and see if we can make it. But a holiness preacher stood in the midst of a middle of a storm and he stood and said, except ye abide with the ship, you cannot be saved. Amen. I know a lot of people that's jumped off ship, that's left this old good ship aside, and they fell to a watery grave. Amen. That's not the answer. When you get in trouble, the answer's not quitting. When you get in the storm, the answer is not jumping ship. The answer is stay with the boat. The Lord will soon come, and the Lord will soon deliver. Hallelujah. It's been the best thing. It's been the best way. It's seen us this far. It'll see us on to glory. Hallelujah. Yes, there's sometimes storms. Yes, there's sometimes trials. But oh, it's worth it when we get to heaven. Hallelujah. I can imagine. As they got to the shore, the Bible said some escaped on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship, but they all escaped safe to land. Not one hair on their head was hurt. No one was lost. They all escaped safe to land. I can imagine as that great big centurion soldier got his footing on the sand and he stood up. He probably saw the scroll as it floated up beside him. And he picked it up and he shook the water off of it. The ink may have ran a little bit on him, but he still could make out the names. And he began to call the roll. Marcellus, merchant from Corinth. Present, Aristarchus, Christian from Caesarea. Present, Olympias, supercargo of the ship. Present, Luke, traveling physician from Antioch. Present. I believe Holiness Camp Meeting broke out when they read that 276th name. Paul, Hebrew prisoner on his way to Rome. Present. But I want to tell you, amen, there's going to be a greater homecoming when we finally reach the shores of glory and the Son of God reaches down and grabs the scroll as the blood runs down the pages and He reads mine and your name off. Michael Carter, present, here I am. It's going to be worth it when I get to heaven. Brother Mike Nichols, present. Oh, Aren't you glad to be on your way to heaven? There's troubles when we were as a sinner. There was troubles when we stood on the shore and we were not in this ship of Zion. And there's been troubles since we've been in this ship and we've been headed to heaven. But oh, to know one day our troubles will cease and our storm will cease and we'll be in heaven for eternity with peace forever. Peace that floweth like a river. Peace, peace forever. I could go on. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. Someone come to the music. I know this message has had a lot of different stuff in it. Usually I don't preach this way. But I feel like God's wanting to do a number of things. He's not limited to any one thing. He's able to heal you tonight if you're sick. He's able to save you tonight if you're lost. He's able to deliver you from things that you need deliverance from. He's able to encourage you. If you're down and discouraged tonight, there is nothing that's too hard for God to do. There is not a storm that He cannot calm. He's able to do it right here tonight. Right here tonight. While she plays and sings, every head bowed, every eye closed. I know this may be a little different. But first and foremost, I want to give you a chance. If you're here tonight and you're not in this ship of Zion, headed to where most of us are here tonight, tonight's a good night to step into the boat. Come, go with us. While she plays and sings, you want to come pray. If you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord, won't you come? Come on. Come on, step out of your pew. Come down to this altar. It's not going to get any better until you get the Lord in your heart. Till you have Him write your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'll not tarry long, but I want to give you an opportunity. Won't you come? Won't you come? You need the Lord. Why don't you come? There's saints of God that are here to pray with you. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. It'll be the best journey you've ever made. It'll be the best choice you've ever made. Won't you come? Won't you come? Won't you come? Tarry for just a few more seconds. Won't you come? Come on. Come on. Tonight's a good night. Tonight's a good night. Come go with us. Come go with us. Come go with us. Come go with us. Come on. Come on. Come on. The boat's anchored waiting for you to come. Come on. Come on. The Lord will not always stand waiting. One day the boat will leave the harbor and it'll be eternally gone. Come now. Come on. Come on.